In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? With his mouth wide open and his eyes as big around as silver dollars, Muhammad Ali always claimed to be the greatest. Of course, he was referring to his prowess as a boxer, claiming to be the best boxer who ever lived. But what about Joe Louis and Jack Dempsey and Jack Johnson and our present-day great one, Floyd Mayweather, whose record of 50 wins and 50 fights, 27 by knockout, stakes a strong claim to being the greatest? And then we could have the same argument about who is the greatest golfer, Nicklaus or Tiger Woods or Ben Hogan or Byron Nelson or Bobby Jones. What about the greatest baseball player, Babe Ruth or Ted Williams or Cy Young or Bobby Bonds or some of our present-day players? Football, was it Jim Brown or Johnny Unitas or Tom Brady or Dick Butkus? Basketball, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? And going past sports to something that really matters, what about the greatest doctor? Was it Jonas Salk, who created the polio vaccine in 1952? Daniel Hale Williams, who performed the first open heart surgery? You'll never guess how far back that was. 1893. Was it Joseph Lister, Louis Pasteur, or what about Hippocrates? As Christians, we claim that Jesus was and is the great physician of body and soul. But the point is that there will always be debate about who is the greatest in a given vocation, whether it's a sports figure or doctors or lawyers or writers or artists, whatever. Mortal men and women strive to be the best they can be and are competitive by nature. Why? Let's go back 6,000 or 7,000 years to the Garden of Eden from Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' We hear and understand that by such conniving, the devil deceived Eve, and she fell into sin and soon enticed Adam to join her in sin." And then later on in the chapter, God speaks to Adam and said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Dear ones, we are little dirt people. We are little dirt people into whom God has breathed life. That tells the story, though, of how we got into trouble with God and each other in our effort to feed ourselves, whereas God once fed us as we lived leisurely in paradise. After the fall into sin, we live in a sinful and corrupted world where we must toil and sweat to feed ourselves. And not only that, we struggle against the world and we struggle against death and we struggle against the devil. Our lives are constant struggle. We must work and toil to pay for each day of our existence. Have you ever sat down and figured out how much you pay to live each day that you live? For housing, heat, cool, food, transportation, medical, insurance, it goes on and on. It would probably shock you if you knew. Each of us pays to live each day. even in this rich country. We toil at our labor. And those who excel as compared to others, as we live in this upside down existence, are called first or greatest. But now, we cut to Jesus in our text today, and they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The disciples, you see, argued among themselves about who would be first or greatest. Was the first or greatest among them one of Jesus' seemingly favorite trio of Peter, James, and John? Or was the greatest among them one of the other nine disciples, which included sinners like Matthew the tax collector and Thomas, the one we call the doubter? We see the competitiveness. We see the struggle to be great among men, even among Jesus' disciples. The disciples struggle against time and death. They struggle against time and death just like we do. We who are mortal men and mortal women. We see the work of the devil among them as he tempts them constantly with his question that will truly go down in infamy. Did God really say? Did Jesus really say? Did God really say that sin kills? Did God really say that he would send his son into the flesh? Did Jesus really say that he must go to Jerusalem and be crucified? Did Jesus really say that he would rise from the dead after 3 days? The disciples were struggling with all of these questions posed to them by the devil as, did God really say? What Jesus answered to their question about greatness was this. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. What Jesus has spoken to us this morning is, of course, countercultural, counter to the culture we live in. The greatest in our country are the rich, the strong, the fast, the talented. They are deemed to be the greatest. But the weakest and most helpless ones in our world are considered to be the least. Dear ones, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of the kingdom of God, we are to serve all people, but especially the weakest. The ones who receive the least, weakest, most helpless in the world are the ones who receive Jesus. That is, they believe in Jesus and they believe in God the Father, the one who sent Jesus. But my friends, we live in a culture that not only does not receive little ones as it should, we live in a culture that kills little ones at the rate of 1.5 million per year. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973. 67.5 million innocent babies killed since 1973 have been reported. And sadly, we don't know how many millions of deaths by abortion have not been reported. Shame on us. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Shame on us. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Shame on us. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. in the blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to protect and serve the weak and poor and little ones and those who are helpless. Help us to serve even the rich and powerful with your law and gospel. Help us to serve all people in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.